On the back of her bulletin, we read the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer as it is printed. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What does this mean? The goal of this sermon series was that you would pray about it. That prayer would become a daily resort, not a last-ditch refuge. And if amen is more than the last word in prayer, prayer is more likely to be daily. Amen is a Hebrew word taken into the New Testament Greek and restored to use by the congregation by Martin Luther. Amen simply means, yes, it shall be so. Yes, it shall be so is both the assumption and conclusion on which we pray. We assume before we pray, the prayer that the Son has taught us must be answered by God the Father. And we conclude, after having prayed the petition that God gave us, that God can't fail to grant them. In some sense, Luther concluded that the whole prayer hangs on our amen. He said in an exposition to the Lord's Prayer, "Therefore take note that a prayer is not good and right because of its length, devoutness, sweetness, or its plea for temporal or eternal goods. Only that prayer is acceptable which breathes a firm confidence and trust that it will be heard." Whoa. You should know by now that anytime you're talking about our believing, we're skating on thin ice and in danger of falling into the cold water of despair. But we don't end the Lord's Prayer with a bare amen. We precede that with ruffles and flourishes of, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." As the Lord's Prayer begins with praise to the Father in heaven, it closes praising Him who is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Although we say our prayers standing on earth, we step into the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. We no longer pray under the pressure of the moment and with the short-sightedness of momentary distress, but rather we pray in the light of the kingdom, the power, and the glory that is eternal. So say that amen confidently, because you're petitioning the King of Ages. We say, "Thine is the kingdom forever and ever," but it's literally into the ages. You know the expression, "one for the ages," means one of a kind, rare, impressive. When you pray to your Heavenly Father, you're praying to not only one for the ages, but the King of all ages. How complex our age is. How many things in this age I just don't get or understand. I need someone beyond this age, beyond all ages, and not just beyond them, but above them. I need one who has more power and glory than this present age or all the ages to come. This is the one Jesus directs us to. And He can do this because He is not only the eternal Son of the King of Ages, He's the Son of Mary, born into our age. You know how when you pray, you sometimes lift your eyes to heaven? Nothing wrong with that. Jesus did it too. But you also get to find God in the depths where you are. Jesus lifted His eyes to heaven and cried out to God in heaven, "Why have you forsaken me?" You turn your eyes to the cross and find God nailed to it. The King of Ages is in the depths out of which you call. Say that amen with all boldness and confidence, because you're asking the King of Ages, who is right with you in the depths of this present age. And because the King of Ages has the power to grant your request. Now, isn't that a silly statement? Of course, the King of Ages has the power to grant whatever you ask Him because He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Yes, the King of Ages has all the power to do anything He wills to do. Does the King of Ages will to answer the prayers of anyone and everyone who calls to Him? Let's argue that a little. Paul says there's no God except one. All the other so-called gods, apart from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they don't really exist. Allah, Buddha, the gods of the Jews, Hindus, Unitarians, Mormons, and Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't exist. They hear nothing any more than a stone idol does. But doesn't the King of Ages, who is not only all-powerful but all-knowing, doesn't He know what words come out of their lips? Of course He does. But He doesn't will to hear them. He doesn't will to put His power or glory at their disposal. The King of Ages doesn't will to put His power or glory at your disposal either. What? You have no direct line to God? You don't have a red phone that you can pick up and God Almighty answers? If there were such a phone and you used it, when God answered, you'd be turned to dust. The only phone lines between heaven and earth that the King of Ages ever strung is Jesus. And doesn't the cross we see Him crucified, suffering, and dying on look like an old-fashioned telephone pole? If you remember the days of payphones, you know that bus stations, inner cities, and some rest stops had pretty disgusting phones. You'd shudder to pick them up and put them near your mouth. The only phone the King of Ages ever answers is one covered with blood, sweat, and tears. This phone, only one centurion recognized on Golgotha. Everyone else walked away or only watched from a distance. You pick up that phone. You put that phone smeared with the holy blood of Jesus and stained by His sinless sweat up to your mouth, and you call. He is the only phone the King of Ages ever answers. And more than that, Jesus is the phone He always answers. All the power and glory of the King of Ages is available through this phone. And you can, with amen certainty, know He will use them on your behalf. How come? Because He didn't use them on behalf of His only beloved Son. Don't you see? If the King of Ages doesn't answer your pleas with His power, glory, and kingdom, it would mean Jesus went without His power, glory, and kingdom for nothing. How justifiably sad and even angry family members are when their son dies in combat for nothing. This does happen through the sinfulness of men. But don't think the holy God could ever let His son suffer, sigh, bleed, and die for nothing. He did not come down from the cross. He did not save Himself for nothing. After hallowing God's name, after bringing the kingdom, and after doing God's will on earth as it is done in heaven, He died one hellish drop at a time to pay for your daily bread, to pay for your forgiveness, to pay for your being led away from temptation and your being delivered from evil. God cannot fail to do these things since His Son already paid for each one of them. You trust that if you pay for a gift at Sears, that they are going to send it to your loved one in your name, don't you? Well, how much more certain are we that the good gifts of God that Jesus purchased for us in His name are going to be sent to us? Daily, say your amen with confidence. Daily, say with boldness, yes, yes, all that I ask for in the Lord's Prayer shall be so. Why? Because you're asking the King of Ages, who is right with you in the depths of this present age. Because He has made available all His power to you in His Son. And because the King of Ages glories in answering prayer. Why do we consistently and persistently paint God the Father with darker colors than we paint our own mothering or fathering? When a child comes to you with a request that is in your power to grant, don't you glory in being able to do it? Is the glory of your parenting disciplining? Of course not. That's your alien work. That's your foreign work. Your real work, what you relish doing, is feeding, clothing, teaching, washing, providing for all the spiritual and material needs of your children. Have you ever had a supervisor who told you he had an open door to come to him with any and all problems, and when you did, you got your head bit off? Sure, you probably have. Again, this is what sinners do to each other. But this is not what the King of Ages does. Consider this. Jesus is just hours away from enduring God's wrath against sinners. He's just hours away from drinking the cup of wrath our sins deserve. He's just hours away from going to hell for an eternity compressed into 3 hours. And what is he thinking of? Read John 13-17. He's thinking of you. All that he is about to suffer, all that he's about to slog through, all that he's about to endure changes something for you, wins something for you, merits something for you. It opens doors for you. John chapter 16, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus commands us to ask in his name because in his name is the only way we can call the King of Ages Father. Ask, you won't get a busy signal. Knock, you're not going to find the door locked. Seek, you won't find God hiding from you. No, look, he's right there out in the open for you. In the gospel, you see him nailed to the tree, suffering to save you for all eternity. He's no longer on that tree. But he's in that font, he's on that altar, and he's in these words. Clothed in him by baptism, bodied and bloodied to him in Holy Communion, and labeled with his name in absolution, you are to step confidently into the courtroom of the King of Ages. And what does the King see when you enter? A sinful son or daughter? No, that's what he saw on the cross. Jesus was made to be sin. Jesus was covered with the sins of the world, so much so that is all that the King of Ages could see. But you see the other half of the equation stated in 2 Corinthians 5. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. That's the first part of the equation. The second part is, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You step into the eternal, powerful, glorious kingdom of the King of Ages, having God's righteousness. The King sees you every bit his daughter or son as Jesus is. And when you pray the same prayer that Jesus did, "Our Father who art in heaven," the Father responds, "Amen. Yes, it shall be so. My name will be hallowed. My kingdom will come. My will be done. And this son or daughter praying to me will be fed, will be forgiven, and will be delivered from both temptation and the evil one." And you respond, "Because thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, I say amen." And the amen you speak here on earth echoes into eternity, joining the amens found in the book of Revelation. Your amen is joined to that of the four living beings, that of the church, and the whole company of heaven around God's throne every single time you pray about it. Amen. We continue now with the offering.